listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Welcome to the 73rd episode of Final Girls Horror Cast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing The Descent and The Descent Part 2. For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. Both of today's films are currently streaming on Netflix, so feel free to check those out if you haven't seen them yet before continuing with the episode. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Bad Samaritan with a May 4th release date. May the 4th be with you, Carly.
That's my favorite. I'm very excited. I got to make the social post for my company. And I'm like real excited about it. Okay.
This movie is directed by Dean Devlin, who, you know, did Geostorm, the national hit Geostorm.
The hit film Geostorm.
Yeah. And it's written by Brandon Boyce.
Yeah.
Boyce. Okay. He's writing for the new Let the Right One In TV series. The IMDb summary is, a pair of burglars stumble upon a woman being held captive in a home they intended to rob. So what did you think of this one?
It reminded me heavily of like Disturbia / Rear Window / I don't know.
What was that one that came out fairly recently where they break into the old guy's house and they just like...
Oh, yeah. Don't Breathe.
Yeah. It's got kind of a Don't Breathe thing going on.
That too. I think I was trying to think of a newer movie as well. I love me some David Tennant. I don't know. This really didn't jump out at me. It didn't make me curious.
I really think it looks all right, though.
No, it doesn't look like a bad movie by any means.
I would totally see. This looks way better than Geostorm.
Oh, hell yeah.
And honestly, as someone who didn't love Don't Breathe, I think this looks good. Like, I'm not big on, like, home invaders. Stalking type films, not really my favorite subgenre, but this looks pretty good. I think it looks all right. I'd check it out.
I really like David Tennant as a villain, and so I think I would see this.
He seems uber creepy. I don't know that I really remember him from anything, but
he was a doctor on Doctor Who.
Oh, well, that's not...
You're like, I don't bother myself with...
It's not that I don't want to watch Doctor Who. It's just so intimidating. Like, the fan base is so, like, intent on how awesome it is. And it's so many seasons. Isn't it just,
it
like,
is so many seasons.
A ridiculous amount of show to watch? Like, I just don't know that I can commit to that.
It is. And I feel like I just kind of jumped in randomly, too, because Netflix doesn't have all of them. So they just, you know, have the one with... Billy, that the like 90s English pop singer. So
isn't there,
I kind
like,
of
multiple versions of that show too?
They're different doctors.
Okay.
So because he's like an alien that he looks different, he can like shed his skin into something like to look totally different.
Huh.
So
all right.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Well,
yeah, so there's that.
I'm so
but
glad
David
we're
Tennant's
really
awesome.
Talking about the movie that we're supposed to be talking about.
But yeah, it's very, it definitely is very, it's a recycled idea, but it looks interesting. I'd see it.
I'm not like excited about it, but
no.
I don't think it looks bad. I would totally watch it.
Right. I don't know if I'd go to theaters for it, but if it was like streaming on Netflix, I'd watch it.
Meh. If I was hearing good things, I might. All right. I mean, let's just get into it. We're going to be
talking
about The Descent. All over the place.
For days. Just this one hour.
Just, it's really not days. It is days. I'm editing it together to sound like an hour-long episode, but really...
You're going to have to cut out a lot of good stuff.
It's going to take me forever to edit this because we're just talking about it for days.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's get started then. We'll jump right in with The Descent from 2005, written and directed by Neil Marshall. The IMDb summary is, a caving expedition goes horribly wrong as the explorers become trapped and ultimately pursued by a strange breed of predators.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's accurate. It's an accurate depiction of the plot of this film.
I love this movie.
Way to go, IMDb.
I'll just jump right in and say it.
You love it.
I really enjoy this movie quite thoroughly. And the reason why is because few movies make me feel like uncomfortable. And this movie does a really great job. Like, I remember I saw this movie in theaters. And I remember just feeling claustrophobic in the theater. Like, I remember when when the girl is stuck in the cave and it's like she's freaking out and having a panic attack. I was like, this is like crazy. And then obviously like fingernail pullings out and ugh. I just remember like feeling very uncomfortable during this movie. And I really like it.
I like it too, although the funny thing about rewatching this film is I used to love this movie and I really like got freaked out watching it. I don't know if I'm just more jaded now, but I was like, I thought this was like scarier.
And see, I don't think I ever thought it was scary. Oh my God. It was creepy. I thought it was
very scary when I...
And I remember them having a lot of jump scares.
Yeah. The jump scares are very cheap.
Yes.
There are some super bullshit jump scares in this film. But I mean,
aren't jump scares in general kind of cheap?
No, sometimes jump scares aren't cheap. Okay. Like, sometimes they are genuinely good. Like,
I love...
These are like standing by the window and nothing is actually happening, but let's just have a jump scare for fun. Like, no.
I love that first wide shot. When you like see the creature for the first time, but like you don't know it's there, but it's like, you know, it's there, I guess. Like obviously she doesn't know it's there, but like she like looks off to the side and you see it standing and then it like kind of crouches down.
Yeah. There's a lot of kind of hidden
the imagery
shots.
Is really awesome. Yeah. I feel like in this movie.
Yeah, it is.
And all the characters are really like believable. I like them for the most part.
I hate Juno from the beginning, though.
Well, Juno's a little bit of a beast.
But Juno, I do like the characters. I think, for the most part, Juno and her friend are kind of the worst. But everyone else is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed, you know, their banter and their relationships. It didn't seem very genuine and believable. The creature design in this is interesting.
They're like mole people.
Yeah.
Carnivorous mole people.
Yeah, I just kept referring to them as mole people in my notes. They're blind. So they have these super cataracts on their eyes and weird goblin ears.
And goblin mouths. They're very goblinous.
Yeah,
goblin-esque.
They have like
sharp
teeth, but they're humanoid. They're like,
right,
kind of human. Like, they evolved from humans.
Exactly. I always assumed that they evolved from humans.
Sure, but I don't really understand the anatomy of a mole human. Like, are their genitals in their bodies?
Oh my God, I was wondering the same thing because I was like, are there any danglers?
There's no danglies.
I was like, I've never wondered because they're definitely super naked. And I was like, do we get
naked.
Any? And like the women have boobs, but they're very stationary on their chests.
Yeah, they don't move. They don't move like breasts at all. They just kind of, it looks like they're wearing a bodysuit.
Yeah. And I was like, but they're very human, but they're like, legit climbing on the ceiling like they're spider people.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I fully
grasped.
All of
this kind of came to fruition more so in Descent 2 than Descent 1. I feel like they're relatively believable in the first one.
Yeah, well,
except for the balls and the boobs.
There's no like the anatomy is very
it's very off.
Minimal.
Yeah,
when it comes to any kind of sexual organs, which they obviously have children, just not they quite sure how that. Maybe they lay eggs. I don't know. There might be eggs involved.
Oh my God, one can only hope. Amphibomoles.
Amphibomoles? Is that what you just said? Amphibomoles,
yeah.
Is that a word you just made up?
Yep.
It's pretty
good.
You're
welcome.
I liked it.
Thanks.
But yeah, there is a lot of cheap jump scares, but there's a lot of like genuine creepiness. To agree with you, I liked the claustrophobic moments.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely made me feel uncomfortable. I liked the arguments between the girls and how they became more and more tense with each other, how layers of the story started coming together as the story goes along, seeing Sarah deal with her child's death and the death of her husband and kind of how she's evolved as a human after dealing with that. And
I love how this movie really just jumps right in. So we get an idea automatically of like the kind of girls that they are, because obviously like they're whitewater rafting, mm-hmm. but like that car accident is so fast and so brutal, especially if you've never seen it before. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that I'm still very afraid of when I see metal poles, like people driving with metal poles on their car. Like,
no,
I can't.
No, yeah.
I get
I will
very
keep
far
like
away
three
from
cars.
Yeah.
Same. Not taking that chance. I've seen this movie. I've seen Final Destination. Yeah, I don't need
I think it's
any
worse
in
this
stuff.
Film. Like, this film scared me more than Final Destination did with driving.
Absolutely. That overshot of, like, the blood coming from the bottom of the car is, like,
it's like, brutal.
In my brain, always. Not always, but, like, it's, yeah, it's so visually, you get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, You get what happened.
You know what's kind of funny, though, watching this movie now is that it looks kind of old, doesn't it? Like, it looks a little outdated. It's not as clean and pretty as a lot of the films we get today are. And I'm sure it wasn't digitally filmed, and that's probably why. But I definitely, like, when I started watching, I'm like, oh, this does not look like a new film at all.
I never really thought of it as... I don't know. Like, I know it's not, obviously, like, it's definitely, like, not a found footage film, but I always thought it was filmed very gritty. I never thought it was a pretty film.
Yeah, it is a pretty film.
But, you know,
which
like,
I think
I always,
is fine. It lends itself to the story.
No,
but
it's perfect. The ambiance is great.
It is a little striking, though, like, with all the beautiful films we've been watching lately. Super crisp and nice looking. You know, we just did, like, Mike Flanagan last week, who's always super clean looking. And Veronica was also very beautiful. So, like, jumping to this, it's, like, a little bit jarring, especially because I don't really think of this as an old movie, but it kind of is getting up there.
I mean, yeah, 2005. It's but, like, I don't know, even when I saw it, like, I never thought it was, like, a pretty polished movie. Because I just, like, I think that the grittiness of it really lends to the fact that we're, like, in a cave system.
Sure. But we're not in a cave system for, like, the first 40 minutes of the movie. Isn't
true.
It, it's, like, 52 minutes in the movie before we see a legit mole person attack a human.
Oh, yeah, for
it's,
sure.
It's a we long fucking time before that happens.
But it doesn't feel
happens.
Like it.
It doesn't. I mean, I think the story does well.
I think it's very balanced because it gives you... You know, you build that story, you have the relationships between these women, and then you're in the cave, which is already creepy. You get hints of these shadows of mole people.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they can see them. There's a lot of, like, what if moments. And then when they realize they're trapped is kind of when shit goes down. And I love the fact that this is just, like, one of those movies where it's, like, leading up to something and then just, like, all hell breaks loose.
And I also like how these women are badasses. Like, they're scared, but they still don't really whine or complain. They just, like, know what they have to do and fucking do it.
Exactly.
When
Chick is, like, hanging the little clasps, I was like, my arms would freaking fall off.
Yeah.
Like, I would be dead.
No, they're so tough and so badass and, like, it's really, really fun to watch these women just fucking kick ass. And you're rooting for them. You're like, fuck yeah, discover this new cave system.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Juno's a total asshole. She's so selfish and so cocky.
Yes.
And she's really the fucking worst. But
yes.
You're still rooting for them to, like, get through it and claim it as their own, you know, until shit starts to really go wrong. God, Juno is just a really... The thing is, like, you see the good of Juno,
mm-hmm.
but it's still, like...
Because she's so, like, she needs to bring Sarah back, but is it more for her or is it more for Sarah? It's more for her.
I think because she's so human, it's, mm-hmm. like, it's easy to feel for her, even though she's such a horrible person at the same time. Like, she does so many terrible things.
Yeah.
You still kind of understand where she's coming from, even though
totally
she's
do. Yeah,
obviously
she, I mean,
in the wrong. Oh, my microphone just dropped in front of me and scared the crap out of myself.
I thought it hit you in the face.
Oh, my God. Sorry if you can hear all that. Hopefully it stays there.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't blame her for stabbing Beth in the throat. But I blame her for leaving her. Like, that's the shitty part. Because it's like, if you're in that situation, you've just fended off three mole people. You're trying to, like, get them, like, to leave the body of your friend. And then you hear something coming up behind you. Like, I don't think that, like, that whole moment is just completely terrifying and fairly authentic and awesome.
But she's also freaking out, and she is always looking out for numero uno. She's always looking out for herself, and she knows that she's not going to be able to save her. You know, like, she knows that she's dead and there's nothing she could do.
Yes, however, she also knew that other chick was dead, and she was trying to still save her body, and this chick was still alive, and she just, like, peaced out. So I don't know. And, like, Beth was, like, reaching out to her, like, help me, you stabbed me in the throat. The least she could have done is stayed with her till she died
or finished her.
Yeah,
like, she's just gonna lay there and die slowly. That's,
and she
sucks.
Shouldn't have, I don't know, like, she shouldn't have lied about it to Sarah.
I'm not gonna say that I don't know if I would have lied or not. What does it matter at that point? You know,
but, like, she says that you saw her die, I would be like, no,
I don't know. It's a tough position to be in.
It 100%.
And I don't necessarily disagree with,
like, I don't agree with what Sarah
does.
Did either.
Yeah,
like, no, I don't agree with Sarah
totally
stabbing her in the
too.
Knee and then being like, peace.
Yeah,
not okay.
She definitely, you know, gets her. I mean, she did fucking have sex with her husband for God knows how long.
I mean, that's true, I guess.
And then killed her friend.
Who
and
knows?
Then lied about it and then left her to die. Like, that's a lot of shitty things to find out in one moment.
Yeah.
And if it's like you or her, like,
And let's be
she's
honest.
She's already stabbed her a bunch of times in the heart, Carly.
Arguably could have been the reason why they got into that accident in the first place, because obviously husband was distracted.
Yeah, it's all, everything is her
it's
fault.
All Juno's fault. It's all Juno's fault.
It's all Juno and her husband's fault. But
and her,
you
husband,
know, he's
yeah.
dead.
He's, yeah. I mean, you can't really stab him in the knee.
Yeah. So a big deal with this movie is how the ending has kind of, we've got two different endings here. Now, was the ending on Netflix the ending you were familiar with originally?
No.
Okay. You're used to the UK ending, and I was also used to the UK ending. I don't know that I've ever seen the US version, except in the special features, and not, like, watching the whole film from beginning to end. I was totally expecting the UK ending, and it didn't happen. How do you feel on this ending versus the UK ending? So for you listeners, if you're not aware, in the UK ending, Sarah escapes the way she does in the US version. She escapes in a car. Juno ghost happens. And then she wakes up and she's still in the cave. And she has a birthday cake and her daughter's there. And it zooms out and the light from the birthday cake is actually her torch, and she's smiling and sitting there in a cave by herself. So it's very doomy. It's a very very depressing ending. And I personally love that ending. I love it. I think it's a great ending.
I like both. I mean, I don't love the Juno ending.
With the Juno ghost?
I feel like I saw a different ending, but I don't know if that's like the case, like when I saw it in theaters, like the theatrical version.
Well,
but I
this
don't...
is the US version ending, so this might be what you saw in theaters.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of... I remember it being like a mole person, not Juno. But I could also, it was like in 2005, so who the hell knows what right. I actually remember.
I thought I remembered a mole person too.
Right?
Who knows if there's additional endings.
But yeah, maybe that's there's just number three.
My brain where I thought it was a mole person and wasn't looking closely enough to see it was some kind of weird Japanese version of a Juno ghost.
Right. I mean, who's to say?
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
So weird.
Yeah. I like both endings. I like the idea of her getting away. Maybe it is I don't know, I could have sworn that there was like a mole person, but I never really thought of it because I know that there was a lot of speculation about whether like the mole people were a figment of Sarah's imagination and she was the person killing everybody.
Right.
I'm happy that that wasn't the ending as when I saw it, because it like was right like a couple years after High Tension came out. I feel like it would have been like it would have cheapened the movie for me.
There were too many scenes that didn't have Sarah in it for that to be the case.
Exactly.
Like Sarah would have to be in every scene for that to be the case.
Exactly. Like
there's too many scenes when she's by herself and no one else is around her.
Right.
It's
too much.
Yeah, it would have been.
I'm happy
much.
That that wasn't what they went with, to be honest.
When she gets away, it's very exciting, but it's also kind of unbelievable. So I think that's why I like the birthday cake ending, because she just randomly finds this hole, and she's so far underground, but she can climb up a small mountain of bones and then she's out. It just doesn't seem very realistic. But what I do appreciate is she totally looks like Sally from Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the
end.
You know, she's like covered in blood and she's
just
got the
driving
long,
the shit
hair.
Out of that truck.
She like gets out and she's kind of hysterical. You know, she's like crying and laughing and looking all crazy. She totally it's so reminiscent of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I really love her in that moment. But it's totally ruined by the Juno ghost. Ghost is horrible.
It also cheapens it. But I feel like the High Tension ending, as I'm going to call it, would have cheapened it more. But I love, you're speaking of like her talking or looking like Sally. I love the transformation that like happens when she falls into the blood pond.
Yeah.
And like when she like crawls out like victorious over like Lady Mole. Like it's almost like a switch flips where she's just like in let's get down to fucking business mode. And she just like is super quiet. We see it a little bit also in the second movie. Like she's just like on a mission to get out of
there. She snapped. She snapped a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. She went crazy, but like in a good way, because she was like in survival mode. Like her adrenaline must have been just like, phew.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It never bothered me that she was able to get out, because I remember them like always kind of like having a plan of like, I don't know, they are both skilled in the art of caves, not legitimate.
Spelunking, I think is the term.
That thing.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I always thought like they have ways of like knowing like the flame trick and like following the flowing water. Like,
yeah.
They know it never occurred to me to like be bothered that they couldn't like legitimately like they know that there's an entrance. They know that there's two entrances to this cave. So it never bothered me that like
it's just
they found that
she's
one.
She's in this room for a while and then all of a sudden she looks and sees light. Like I'm okay.
I didn't think that they were in the room for a while. I thought Juno like and her like led her to this place, and then when she saw the light she was like, "All right, I'm going to stab you in the leg and
yeah, I mean, it's, okay.
You know?
Sure.
I don't know. Like, I get what you're saying. It never bothered me.
It doesn't bother me either. It's just, I prefer the birthday cake ending because it just seems more realistic. The rest of the movie feels so like honest that like, even though it's kind of a cop out where you're all excited for her, she's having issues with hallucinations and dealing with her shit, and you know she's taking medication.
Totally.
So like, it's kind of a happy ending for her when she's still in the cave, if you think about it, because she's at least
until she realizes that she's hallucinating.
Having happy hallucinations. She doesn't realize she's having happy hallucinations. She thinks she's really there. I don't know. And it's such a blow to you as the viewer when it happens. It emotionally affected me a lot. I remember the first time I saw it and was like, oh, my heart just fell.
I realized prior to this viewing that it took place in America. I always thought, I don't know why, I think I just maybe completely like discounted the fact that they say, well, Juno came to Scotland last year or whatever. But like, I don't know why I always thought this movie took place in Europe until this particular viewing is when I noticed that it took place here.
Of noticed it, but they don't really come out and say it. They kind of hint that they're in America, but they don't actually say they're in America. You kind of realize that in the sequel a little bit more.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so are we ready to talk about the sequel? Because I have a lot to say about the sequel.
Yeah, I liked the way that they filmed this, though, is that they kept the mole people and the girls separate. So they really felt that they were like combating each other.
When they were filming, you mean?
Yeah. I feel like it created those genuine like, oh shit moments.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Okay,
it's a genuinely good film. It's not faultless. I think upon rewatch, I think I was holding it up on a pedestal that I don't know that I would today, but I still really like it. I still think it's a really valid film. It's a really good film. It's really fun. It's got really scary moments.
I was really bothered
the cheapy still, jump scares.
Yeah, I was bothered by the fact that the chick that they decided was like careless chick was like the short haired girl when she like was like, I see light. Like, I feel like as Juno's protege, she would have like known better.
I think she was acting really immature almost the whole entire time. So
that's true.
I didn't feel like that was out of character for her.
I was just like, I yelled at my TV.
She's like,
maybe.
I just want to go fast. And I was like, don't be an idiot. Go hard. And I don't want to go to any safe spaces. And
you're going to just break your femur and it's going to be
the worst.
She
was being kind of dumb young kid the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. She got into trouble before.
She did.
All right, we can proceed.
Please, thank you. Mm-hmm. I have so much to say.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's talk about The Descent Part 2 from 2009, directed by John Harris, who is mainly an editor. This was his only directorial film, even, if you want to be correct about it. It's written by James McCarthy, Jay Blakeson, and James Watkins. The IMDb summary is, refusing to believe her story about cave-dwelling monsters, the sole survivor of a spelunking exploration gone horribly wrong is forced to follow the authorities back into the caves where something awaits. I don't know who told me that this wasn't bad, but they're horrible people.
I hate
it.
I hate
it's so bad.
I didn't necessarily hate the movie. I didn't enjoy it. Like, I didn't like the movie. However, the fucking sheriff dude was the fucking worst. Like,
so
none of this movie was exactly. None of this movie was believable.
None of it. None of it made any sense. Zero things that happened made sense.
No
Every
fucking
decision
way.
Made was yeah. fucking horrible.
Yeah. No way would they pull this girl out of her fucking hospital bed, doesn't remember anything.
Wait, and sent her. When did this even take place? Because when she's
days.
In the hospital, they said 3 days ago, you went in this yeah. cave.
And
they
it was
were
2 days.
In the cave, and they were in the cave for how many days? At least 24 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
At least.
Approximately 24 hours. That means that she's only been out of the cave for 2 days,
mm-hmm.
maybe less.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already dragging her out of the hospital. She remembers jack shit from it. and they're taking her out of the hospital and bringing her back down there. I call fucking bullshit. In no way is that allowed.
No. In no way would a doctor be like, okay. There's no fucking way a
doctor is letting her leave.
Exactly.
No fucking way.
None.
No way. This cop is horrible. He's the fucking worst.
The worst.
And the deputy is really no better. She is also a horrible deputy. She is afraid of absolutely everything from the beginning.
Yeah. And then we've got Prince Charming from Once Upon a Time, who's one of the spelunking people.
Yeah, there's like a couple spelunkers, professional spelunkers who are searching for the other girls that are missing.
Yeah.
So Sarah doesn't remember anything, so she can't tell them that there's cave monsters killing people.
Conveniently.
And for some reason, the cop has it in his brain that she is the devil and has killed all these women that she's best friends with for no reason in a cave.
What the hell is that about?
It makes no sense.
I was like, why is he being such an asshole?
He is such a dick to her, and it makes no sense
at all. The most satisfying part of this movie is him getting his fucking forearm chopped off.
That was the best part of the whole
slowly.
Movie.
Slowly.
And it took way too long to happen. I wish it happened sooner.
Oh my God. I was like, when is this guy going to die?
When he handcuffs himself to Sarah, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
I was like, no, he did not. I was like, I would break his fucking arm.
You know that there's monsters down there. You know that she didn't kill anybody. You know there's fucking monsters. What the fuck are you doing?
He's a fucking idiot. It's like,
who
cares?
He's in love with Juno from the beginning, by the way.
I was like, why does he care if she goes her own way?
No idea why he cares.
Right?
No idea where he cares about any of it. No idea why he's so emotionally invested in Juno and she hates Sarah so much.
I literally thought that he was like her dad or like he had some emotional attachment and then she sees him, doesn't know who the fuck he is. I'm like, why is he so into this? Like, I don't understand. This makes no sense. This whole weird thing makes no sense.
He's the worst. He's the least believable of all these characters. And then there's some kind of weird love triangle with the spelunkers. There's a girl.
What was that about?
And two dudes. And I don't really know who's in a relationship with who. Like, everyone's in love with each other. I'm not really sure I understand those relationships. The guys kind of look alike, so I get confused whenever I look at them. I don't know who is who. We can pick some people that don't look like identical twins. That'd be great.
Yeah, it was really weird. I like, when she started freaking out about the one guy dying and, like, started hitting Prince Charming, I was like, why? Like, what's... I thought that they were, like, in a thing because when she's, like, trapped,
he's
like...
None of it makes sense. None of those relationships make any sense.
None of the relationships
in the film, period, make any sense.
No.
My favorite... Okay, I have many favorite things that are horrible in this film.
I'm excited to hear them.
Where to
proceed.
Start.
Proceed.
Okay, favorite thing number one, literally everyone yells... All the time.
Oh my God. Did that drive you crazy? Because
it drove me absolutely nuts.
Especially
when
fucking deputy is like, Sarah! I was like, I'm going to fucking punch you in the mouth. Shut up.
The second you know there's mole people and they are blind but not deaf, you should never be yelling again.
Ever. Ever.
There should be zero yelling. Why are your radios on when you're hiding on the ceiling?
God.
Like, turn that shit. That would be the first thing I would think of.
Same.
I need to be so quiet. I'm turning off my radio.
I'm throwing
what
my radio away.
It's not going to help you right now. The easiest way to get away from these things is to be fucking quiet. So why are you yelling every 5 seconds? It just does not make any sense.
None.
And the things they're yelling are so unbelievably stupid. Like the spelunker that dies first, he's just like, hello, please answer if you can hear me. Why aren't you answering me?
Oh, because you need to die right now.
Yeah.
That's why.
I mean, he yelling is the only thing that makes sense, though, because he doesn't know about the mole people yet. But
right.
Once you know about the mole people, the yelling should cease to exist at
absolutely.
That point.
You become a mute. At that point.
And when the last two spelunkers die and she's like, you know, she climbs over the other girl and then the guy, and she gets away And then she starts yelling after he's already gone. Like, stop yelling. What are you doing? Everyone stop fucking yelling. It's your only chance to not die right now, and you're all blowing it.
Okay, question.
Yeah.
Did this bother you?
Huh.
In that scene where they come across the chick that's, yeah, like, dead from the first one.
Sure.
Juno jumps into water in that scene. So okay, why, when Prince Charming and the mole person fall down, it looks like they're falling into internal blackness?
I don't really remember.
Because there's water down there.
I don't really remember that.
Continuity, people.
Okay.
You're making a sequel. Watch the first fucking movie.
You know what my favorite thing in this whole movie is?
What?
My other favorite thing.
Do tell.
So the deputy kills one of the mole people by taking a bobby pin out of her hair and jamming it into a mole person's neck.
Yeah. Once.
She kills it. It's dead. She wiggles it.
She stabs, yeah, it in there. It's not even like a stab, 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 stab. It's like stab, wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Has anyone ever touched a bobby pin that made this film before? Because in no way.
To be fair, I think it's a French pin. Because it's like.
Okay. French pin or not, Carly, they are not that sharp.
I mean, give them some fucking oomph. I mean, if you take a bobby pin and it doesn't have those little nubbins on the end, it can do some, it can break skin. I'm just saying.
Is it going to kill a mole person in 0.5 seconds?
No. I agree with you there, but I'm saying you can break skin with it.
There is also a scene not that much later in which one of the chicks has a mag light and is beating a mole person in the head, and they are fine. There's no issues there with the mole person surviving, but yeah, a bobby pin is its downfall.
It's true. It'll get you. Maybe she hit the jugular. I don't know.
So people, really, all of you people who consider your mag lights, your giant flashlights, your weapons, I mean, false, really, you should just be carrying around a bunch of French pins and bobby pins.
Exactly.
Because they're way better weapons, just in case.
Wiggle them around. I will say the skull smash of the rock, that was pretty sweet.
Their skulls seem very soft, and maybe they are, but
they're like, I don't know where
they like dissolve when you hit them sometimes, and then
sometimes,
other times,
but not if you have a mag light.
They don't do anything at all if you hit
impervious
them. Maybe they have soft spots on their skull like babies.
It's true. And then if you just get them the right way, they will just implode.
Their heads just cave in.
Yeah,
you hit them just right.
Yeah, I like that when Chick is like stuck in the rocks, she can't figure out a way out, but this mole person just needs to dig a little bit, and then she can, like, he can get in.
She can totally crawl right out. No,
yeah,
problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine.
It's totally fine. She's like, there's no way I can get out of here. Okay, I'm out.
And then the mole person's like, I found a way. And then, yeah, she's like, oh, well, I found another way.
There's multiple ways
it's
in
fine
and out.
I just didn't try hard enough.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's a poop puddle.
Oh my god!
Talk about this.
The grossest.
It's just so dumb.
How are they like, oh, what is this?
Yeah,
you fucking know.
If you're in a giant
puddle
of shit,
yeah, you're in a shit puddle, you're gonna know about it.
If you're swimming in a giant puddle of shit, there is no way.
If you're swimming in sewage,
what is this?
Yeah, you're gonna know. It's not going to be a secret. It's not going to be a surprise. You're going to know that you've just fallen into shit.
They have a purely carnivorous diet. That shit stinks.
What is this?
It's shit.
Oh.
It's fucking shit.
In case you didn't know, we're going to have this mole person take a poo over the side
so
of this
unnecessary
cliff.
All
so
of that
unnecessary
was unnecessary. It added absolutely nothing to the
zero
film. Someone just wanted to...
Someone's like, hey,
shot.
You know what'd be funny? A shit puddle.
How are we going to know it's a shit puddle?
Well, you just
have to have a mole person take a shit in it so they can tell.
Over the edge of the cliff.
Yeah. Heaven forbid they just be like, oh, this smells horrible. And then we move on because we have brains and we'd figured out it's the a idea. Shit puddle.
Yeah, we'd get the idea.
I preferred the blood puddle. I thought that was way more terrifying.
Oh, I thought it was so, oh my God. I just
they
like,
should have just brought back the blood puddle. They that was should've. Way better.
The blood puddle was so much better. And I was like, where did the blood puddle go? Because they were in that room with all the dead animals.
When Sarah fell in it, she became, she soaked up all the blood in her hair. Because
it was like,
body.
It's only 2 days later. It's not like this, it's not like that, that
she cannonballed into it
up.
And the blood was absorbed in the rest of the room.
Gotcha. The blood it all makes room. Sense now.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank
Don't
you.
Don't worry, I got you. So we have two dumb cops. We have a bunch of dead spelunkers. The best part, I agreed, is when the sheriff gets his arm chopped off because he was a dumbass and handcuffed himself to Sarah. So that was the only way to save Sarah.
And the best part was that the deputy did it.
Yeah, she's fucking went for it. It took her many attempts to get that.
No, I was like, dude, what are you doing?
I don't know. It was brutal, though. That was the only good scene. I really think that was the only good scene.
It was the only good scene.
There was no other good scenes. I will say this was entertaining to watch, though. Like,
I don't regret my time with it. Like, there are some movies that we watched that I'm like, that was a waste of like an hour
it's
and a
good,
half of my
bad.
Life. Yeah.
It's entertaining bad. It's funny how bad it is.
No, yeah. You should definitely watch it and just yell at your TV for like 90 minutes or however long.
You're just
going to
be
is.
Mad, but it'll be funny at the same time.
Exactly. It's fine. It's a fun, it's a fun bad. Because you're like, oh my God, this is just, who would do that? Why would you do that? Why aren't you dead? Oh, you are dead now.
Yeah.
Oh, and then what the hell is with this backwoods guy?
Okay.
Feeding, like, it's almost like Betty White in Lake Placid, but not as adorable and likable. And it doesn't
Here's
make any sense.
Here's the problem with this fucking side plot. We have Hillbilly Joe, who saves Sarah. He fucking rescues Sarah at the beginning. He rescues her. Mm-hmm. She finds him. He's in a truck. He picks her up. He brings her to the hospital. Then he helps the cops go back into the cave.
Yep.
Then when last remaining survivor gets out, he bashes her in the head with a shovel and then drags her back to the opening.
Yeah.
Why? If he was in on it the whole time, which I kind of called when they all went down because he had a creepy look on his face and was all winky and being crazy. I was thinking, that's got to be in my head because why would he fucking rescue Sarah if he knew what happened to her? Like, wouldn't he just bash her in the head and drag her back to the mole people?
Yes.
Why would he allow her to survive? I don't really get it. I mean, maybe it's because he thought he could get more people down there to like feed
the only
them.
Thing that I could think of is that like if the cop sheriff person made it back, like Sarah didn't know where she was. Right. If cop person came back, like they could go to that mine and like infiltrate the mole people. But why does he care about the mole people?
I don't know.
That's what I don't understand.
I guess we'll have to watch The Descent Part 3.
Is there a Part 3?
There is a Part 3.
Shut your mouth. There is not a Part 3.
There is a Part 3. What? It's not on, I don't think it's on Netflix, but I did see that it exists. Here, let me look it up.
Oh, you talk for a little bit longer. The Last Descent is what it's called. What?
What
How
is the
do
plot
I watch
synopsis?
This movie? Well, I just pulled it up on, okay. Oh, no, this is like the longest thing of all time. I pulled it up on Wikipedia.
Oh, wait, I got it.
Okay, go.
2016.
Oh.
Here we go. In 2009, John Jones explored an unmapped section of the famous Nutty Putty Cave after becoming stuck in a hole 18 inches wide and 100 feet underground. Rescue crews worked frantically and heroically to free him. This is the story inspired by not only the incident of Nutty Putty, but by the way John lived his entire life.
What? Are we sure this is Descent 3? What the fuck is a Nutty Putty?
No. I I don't know. I don't think this is it. I think it's The Descent 3.
Okay. I swear to God, I typed in The Descent 3 movie and The Last Descent is what popped up. Oh, I see. Descent 3. I was like, I'm going to call bullshit here.
Is that like a true story? Nutty Putty? Really? Is that a thing?
Good. I'm sorry. Grief. Is this a real movie?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening anymore. I'm drinking wine. We're talking about caves and then Nutty Putty.
What in the heck?
This is what happens when we don't do our research. I thought I saw a Descent 3. Is there not a Descent 3?
I don't see anything. I see a Descent 3, but it's like a first-person shooter video game.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Because it just kind of popped up. I didn't, like, research it at all. So I don't think it's The Last Descent, you guys. I think that might... Although it is about a cave.
It is about a cave and Nutty Putty.
And the terrifying Nutty Putty cave. Dun, dun, dun.
There's Descendants 3.
I don't know. No, this is a drama. It's not a horror film.
No. Yeah, there's no Descent 3.
There's no Descent 3. Okay. My bad. My bad. My B. Okay, let's stop. Let's stop. Let's stop with this. Let's get into our next segment, which we like to call... Carly, what do we call it?
Social media question of the week.
Where'd you go?
I literally thought trailer trash talk in my head.
We've been recording in the mornings the past few weeks. This is the first time we've recorded past 9 in a while.
Because it's like not the morning. No.
And we're drinking again.
And we both had days at work.
We've had a days. Okay, so what's our question this week, Carly?
Oh, Christ. I'm still looking at The Descent. I'm still looking at Nutty Putty. Okay.
Stop looking at Nutty Putty.
I can't help it. You're lost in a cave. What scares you the most? The dark, insects and bats, or a rock falling on you? Oh, there's more. Your crazy friend killing you, possible starvation, human eating mole people, or other. Explain. On Twitter, we have at the Giant Be With You, who says, all the hellish nightmares living in the hollow earth are terrifying.
At Boss Captain Ross says, all of these.
At Titania 86 says, the scariest thing about The Descent was when the tiny cave collapsed when Sarah got stuck. So the closest is a rock falling on me. The rest are scary, but collapses are sudden.
Okay, I can get behind that. At Boost Moose 27 says, all of those would seem scary considering you're lost in a cave. I think that my mind would actually be the scariest thing, though. Imagining what is or isn't there or what could or couldn't happen.
At Repairman Jack says, literally all of these things. Having dipped my toe into caving a few years back, I can say that at one point, all of these possibilities and more. Crypto-terrestrials. Did I get that?
I think that's how it says.
Floated crypto through my mind as I explored the abandoned mines and caves of eastern PA.
Justin has, I feel like, so many interesting stories.
Oh, it's the best.
Only touched upon very small amounts of them. At KMuck EVS says, other, getting stuck in a small space, unable to move my limbs. A lot of people have claustrophobia here.
I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Not a fan. At Trish Jarvis 84 says claustrophobia.
Well, there you go. At Junger 128 says definitely a crazy person. I once went on a candlelight tour at Mammoth Cave with a man drenched. With a man dressed in a trench coat. Needless to say, I was watching my back the entire time.
Don't blame you. Crazy people are scary.
100% the scariest.
On Instagram, we have Black Cat Horror Memes, who says, a shitty sequel. LOL. I suppose getting irrevocably lost, coupled with being stuck in pitch blackness. Yep, that would suck.
Yeah, that's bad too. Rivers Run North says, waking up a sleeping mama bear and her cubs.
Aww, little hibernating guys. Mi Amor Mi Corazon says, possible starvation.
Zanna Lapwood.
Nailed it.
I know that's how you say it now.
Nailed it. Every time I listen to one of our episodes and I hear Zanalpwood, I just laugh now because it's hilarious.
So sorry, Zanna. We got it now. Zanna Lapwood says, getting lost.
On Facebook, we have Tommy B, who says, never finding my way out, I think. But I'm not a huge fan of bugs. I added the huge. He's not a fan of bugs.
I bet he's not a huge fan of bugs either. Nick B says, claustrophobia and disorientation will probably get me. In fact, they could turn me into the crazy friend that kills people.
There you go.
Well, that'll happen, I guess. What do you think would be the scariest thing to be stuck in a cave?
I wouldn't put myself into like the position where I would get like be in a tight spot in a cave, because that already just like immediately freaks me out. I think at first it would be the dark until like my eyes adjusted, and then would probably be starvation.
Yeah, they don't even really eat when they're down.
No.
Like they eat an apple. Like that's not going to do shit.
No.
And they never have to pee or go to the bathroom. Which I always have to pee, so I call bullshit on that.
Right?
I don't understand any of it. But I think I would be most fearful of, like, other organisms in there. I mean, I don't know about creepy mole people, but probably my brain would make me think there's creepy mole people. And then also, like, any kind of bug or, like, insect just crawling around. You know there's so many down there. There's so many creepy things down there.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Planet Earth series. And have you ever watched the cave one? Because holy shit, I want nothing to do with any of that.
I haven't watched the cave one.
It's terrifying. Caves are terrifying, and no thank you. And I'm not going anywhere near. Like, I like the idea of caves, but like actually being down in a cave. No, thank you. And I'm so afraid of like the dark. It's insane how much of an adult I am and how afraid of the dark I am.
Well, like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, when you can't, I mean, it's different if, like, you know, things are dark, but you can see a little bit. But when things are like pitch black, that shit's scary.
It's really scary.
Because you get vertigo. You don't know what's 2 feet in front of you. You don't know if you're walking towards a cliff. Like,
It's
fucking terrifying.
No, I'm good. I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah.
Away from caves.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Okay, so we have already gotten some of your requests for Listener Request Month that starts.
We just listened to it.
In just 2 brief weeks. So close, you guys. So we're going to be taking requests for 1 more week. And 1 more week alone. We've already gotten quite a few, but we can still take more. So if you want to request, do us a favor, give us a call, 323-657-3910, and you can leave us a message, which we will play back on an episode if we choose your film.
We own your voice.
We own your voice, like Ursula the Sea Witch, like I said on the last episode. So it's going to be so much fun. I'm really excited to get even more requests. The requests we've gotten so far are really great. I've seen some of the films that have been requested already, and I'm excited to watch them again and discuss them again. So please give those a call. It's so hard to talk right now. Give us a call. Leave us a message. Let us know the movie you want us to discuss, and we will discuss it. It'll be really fun. Or if you are out of the country, if you're not in America and you don't want to call an American number, I don't blame you. You can send us an email, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com, and we will work with that as well. Doesn't need to be something streaming, doesn't even need to be horror. Really, it can be anything your heart desires, as long as it's not porn or a snuff film. That's it.
Yeah.
Those are our requirements, not porn or a snuff film, and relatively easy to find somewhere. That's it.
Pretty simple to me, it seems.
I'm done. I can't do any more of this. So next week, our last week before Listener Request Month, we're doing like hospital horror is what I'm calling it.
I like
we're going to be discussing the new Netflix release Nails, which I hear is god awful. So that'll be fun. And also The Exorcist 3, which is now streaming on Shudder. And if you haven't seen The Exorcist 3, for the love of God, go watch The Exorcist 3. It's fantastic.
Get on it.
It's so good. I'm really excited to talk about that one. All right. Is there anything you would like to talk about, Carly, before we end the episode?
No, I have no things.
We need to do a another Patreon live stream. We will be doing one soon. We haven't had it planned out yet, but we will be doing one soon. I will announce that on patreon.com. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, I recommend that you consider it. We have a bunch of new episodes being posted on there for our Modern Horrors After Hours, which are super awesome. A lot of content coming from both of us, as well as other Modern Horrors contributors. What was just recently released? I don't know if I put it up yet, but I will put it up this week. It's Jacob talking about being in the wilderness in horror films and how it's portrayed. He's kind of a wilderness guy.
I know.
You know? He loves the wilderness. He loves going out in nature. He really knows a lot about survival type things. So that's probably a really cool thing to listen to. I haven't gotten to check it out yet, but I'm excited to do it. We also have an episode up there with me and Carly and Meg and Leslie, who are writers on the site, talking about women in horror, which is really, I think, a fun episode. There's an episode up there of me and Luke talking about some Italian horror. I really recommend you guys check that out if you haven't. It really is. It's only a dollar to be able to access that and to get access to the other things we do on Patreon. So consider doing that, throwing us a couple bucks, and even just trying it out for a month or two, see if you like it. And, you know, every little bit helps us to progress the show and add cool and fun things for you guys. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it. Let's get out of here.
All right. Let's do it. See ya. I got a glass of wine to finish.
All right, you guys. Until next week, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye!
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H., Nick B., Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC, and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our homepage.